Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay, I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, Bet Online, our exclusive wagering partner. Bet Online, of course, where you get all your action on NFL football, NBA basketball, and Bet Online AG is the place you want to go. More options to wager than anywhere else online. So online today, take advantage of all the great midseason bonuses, offers, and contests. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Use the code CLNS50 when you go to betonline.ag. Once again, betonline.ag, code CLNS50 to get you 50% off your initial deposit.
Blowout teams at this point, what up? You know, Jimmy Toscano's here. Of course, I am Josue Pavone, CLNS Media. It's the post game show, and you know, the Celtics blowing out teams by 30 points. I mean, I can get used to this. I mean, regardless if it's summer league or not, I mean, at the end of the day, we're talking about a Celtics team that has found its stride. It's, you know, compared to other teams, because in this summer league, it's more about point differential. So this team, the Celtics, if they, especially if they top this perfect record with another win this weekend, we're talking about a Celtics team going for the title here. Summer league 2021 title. Jimmy Toscano, how you feel about that? Because if you ask me, that's the best case scenario in this summer, right?
The summer Celtics are an absolute wagon, okay? Somebody tweeted this to me. I'm having more fun watching this team than I had for the entire all of last season, watching the actual Celtics. This is
You didn't expect this. You didn't expect this, Jimmy. Be honest. You didn't
expect this, especially after the first game. I was like, oh, Jesus, here we go again. But no, listen, the way they came out today, again, you know, a little bit more of the same than what we saw in game two. A lot of Pritchard doing good things. A lot of Nesmith doing good things. He had some help from a couple of unlikely players, Hauser, Begarin. I don't know how we're saying his name, but I'll try to get fancy with it.
That's good enough.
Yeah, and it's just been fun to watch these guys. The players that I listed, Pritchard and Nesmith, they look head and shoulders better than, you know, just your average summer league player out there, which is what you wanted to see going into this summer league. So the summer Celtics are here. They're the real deal. They're going for 4-0 on Saturday. I don't know why they wouldn't get it. I mean, the way they're playing, I mean, they're dropping 100 plus points on these dudes easy with 10-minute quarters here. So you got to like what you see. You got to like the intensity. You got to like the energy. Nesmith tonight, the difference between game two and this game was that the outside shots weren't really falling the way they were in game two, but he was doing other things. He was scoring from within the three-point line. He was dishing. He was driving. Like, he's doing stuff that we didn't see in year one from him naturally. I mean, he's a rookie and, you know, coming into a weird season, but he looks a lot more comfortable out there.
Yeah, we got to lead with Nesmith, man. We're talking about another 30-plus point performance, right? Even though he wasn't the only one, he was far from the only one tonight. I mean, three of these Celtics players scored 30-plus points, but I mean,
you're looking at plus minus.
Yeah, but the fact that Nesmith only drained 2 3-pointers though, like some people would say, oh, okay, that's not what we signed up for. But he was creative in the sense of trying to find other ways to score, and that's the reason why he ended up with 30-plus points, right? Because the naysayers, but Jimmy, all the naysayers out there, think about it. They're gonna go out and say, oh well, yeah,
he didn't have 30-plus points though. His plus minus. You're looking at plus minus.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you're right. All right. He had 18. Yeah, right. I am.
Dude, I'm just making sure that we're on the same page here, bro. That's all. I just want to make sure. The way he was playing, it looked like he had 30-plus points. The way Pritchard was draining those shots, I can see that. The way Hauser was draining those shots, yeah. But listen, they played well, and the plus 30 is almost just as good as 30 points.
No, but the thing is that people are going to look at what he did last game and be like, oh, well, yeah, it's easy to score, you know, that many points when he scores 7 threes. But he only had 2 threes in this game. He ends up with 18. And at the end of the day, people are going to say, oh, well, yeah, you know, he's not just a three-point shooter. This guy can score buckets. And that's what I want to see from Neesmith. I want to see someone who can score buckets and find other ways to score besides behind the three-point arc.
Right, because this is obvious, but the more ways you can score, the more dangerous you're going to be out there. You don't want to be a guy who just parks himself at the 3-point line and can't do anything else. You know, if you can drive, if you can dish, if you can facilitate, you know, the defense still has a long way to go. You know, we're not expecting them to turn into defensive stalwarts in summer league here, but to see the comfortability that we're seeing, to see him, you know, like we said, score in different ways and look like at times the best player on the court, that's what you want to see. So I was very happy with that. And, you know, Pritchard's another guy that's super impressive. You know, talking about a guy who's doing everything. I mean, his passing's been great, but the thing that's standing out to me is this dude's looking like Steph Curry out there. The way he's stepping back and draining 30-plus footers. I'm talking about Logo Pritchard, man. Pritchard is here, dude.
Yeah. But we said it from the very beginning, right? Like, they're you can tell they're telling Pritchard to not worry about those shots, or Pritchard's himself working on those shots. Like, he's obviously has set the example here in terms of that distance. But of course, it's the summer league we're talking about. Celtics still undefeated here, 3-0. We got Bobby.
I got my Oregon shirt on.
Yo, is that why you
got my Pritchard shirt on? Yeah, I had to put that on at halftime.
I was gonna say, there's no chance you had that shirt before Pritchard was drafted for the Celtics. I knew it.
No, that's not true. I did have it before he was drafted. Thank you very much.
Not for nothing,
I'm a huge Justin Herbert fan.
Yo, not for nothing. The Oregon has some great apparel. Like, their gear is on point.
Dude, they're basically
like Boise State. Like, for the blue, for the fans of like that blue, Boise State, that's for you. But for Oregon, like, their jersey is just on point regardless of how you feel about color patterns. It's like, dude, they don't mess around.
They're like Nike's guinea pig, dude. They'll just say, hey, we want you to wear these. Like, here, check this out. And then they go. But yeah, Pritchard tonight, though, doing his thing again. Neesmith doing his thing. And then we mentioned him, but this dude, Hauser, and I don't want to spoil it, but
man.
Our guy, Bobby Manning, who's in Vegas, along with Sherrod.
One-on-one.
I think the rumor is Bobby's got a little one-on-one. I saw him creeping. He was creeping in the background of Hauser doing the walk-off interview on ESPN. Bobby was creeping in the background.
He was tapping his shoulder like, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Somebody tweeted, right?
I got you next, right?
Someone tweeted me a picture. I had to retweet it. Bobby's just like sort of creeping. He's like, yo, man, he's got the hat on low. Like, just kind of like creeping the back. He's got the mask on.
Right.
But yeah, allegedly, we might have a little Hauser sidebar coming up. So that'll be nice. But shout out to Hauser. I mean, that dude's had the 4-point play tonight. I mean, he was wet in the second half, man.
Yo, 21 points and 7 assists, that'll do it. You know what I mean? Like,
that's
going to get people talking about you. For real, that's peak summer league, and that's going to get people talking about you. And, of course, we got Bobby Manning, we got A'Sherrod Blakely, both of those guys out in Vegas. They're going to be joining us in a couple of minutes, so for sure we'll have all that access in terms of what they were able to say to people and the kind of reports that they have, you know, that we saw a couple of nights ago, you know, because they're out there. But, yo, Jimmy, I'm telling you, this team, you know, they have a great – not only do they have a great chance of going to the championship, but I just feel like a lot of these guys are going to walk away from the summer league not only motivated but feeling like they can really make a legitimate step toward, you know, step forward in their careers. You know, whether we're talking about Peyton Pritchard, whether we're talking about, you know, Neesmith, you know, guys that can that can, you know, take on a role right away. And I think there's a lot to say about that for sure.
I'll just say this. Get John off of our post-game show right now. Get any John Zanis comment. I don't want to see it.
Yo, John is loving
that guy
it.
He's is not on this show tonight. John's got his own Patriots post-game show coming up after the Pats. We'll see if the Pats can take care of business against the Washington football team. We won't say the R word anymore. But he's trying to steal our viewers. But we're going to keep it going strong here.
Program alert for everybody. Yeah, for all you fans out there.
Yeah, you can watch both. I think we'll probably wrap up before their starts anyway. So luckily we'll be able to watch both. But back to the C's here. 3-0. And again, they look like, I don't know if you saw the beginning of this game, but it looked like the Celtics were just in a different class than the Magic. And I think maybe that just be the Magic might just be that bad. I mean, the Magic could not even inbounds the ball. They couldn't even get a shot up before turning it up over to start this game. And the Celtics kind of let them hang around a little bit. But in that second or third quarter, they really sort of stuck it to them. And that's when you saw Pritchard and Neesmith kind of hit a few. and Beguerin had a nice little first half there. That's a player, and Beguerin, like, he basically said, hey, Brad, like, I want to show that I can play. I mean, this kid's, like, what, 18 years old, coming overseas. Nobody knows much about him, but he can slash. We've seen him hit some corner threes. And, you know, just stuff like that where it makes you kind of think that, you know, he has a bit of a future. I mean, I'm not saying that he's going to make the team this year, obviously. There's no roster spot for him. But the way he's playing out there, it kind of shows that he does look like he belongs in this level, at least. And to be able to say that at age 18, just wait, don't get too low on me, bro. Don't get too low on me, bro.
Am I too low? My bad.
Easy. I don't know.
I'm trying to adjust my cam here.
I know you're working from home. I want to make sure you got pants on before you get any lower, but...
But, yeah, I do. I'm good.
All right, good. As long as you're good.
I just go make on. Sure.
Yeah, I don't want FCC coming after us. But anyways, what I was saying was this kid had a nice little game to him, and I know that there's not a future this season. Like, he's not going to be in the roster this year. But shout out to him for, you know, basically telling Brad, like, hey, like, let me play. Let me show that I can. Let me show you guys what I'm made of. And I think Celtics fans are going to maybe keep tabs on him, you know, while he's overseas, as opposed to some of these other guys who go overseas where you just don't know anything about him. But having seen him play a little bit in summer league kind of gets fans attached to him. Maybe they hop on his social media and sort of follow him over there, wherever he ends up, and kind of go from there. So it's good to see him contribute too. That's what summer league's all about, dude. I mean, you can overanalyze this stuff all you want, but bottom line is, you know, it's just good to see little flashes from these guys, because, you know, a lot of these players you're not going to see in the same role or even close to that same role, but you get to see sort of what they're capable of when they're put in a different role or a bigger role, lesser competition, but you just tell them to do different things out there.
Are we getting too excited about this Pritchard-Neesmith connection? Like, not to say that,
that's
like,
totally okay.
Yeah, but it's not to say that these two are connected, but the fact that they're both able to take things to the next level, it seems like, at least from what we've seen throughout this span, like, is it too crazy to say that these two could have a legitimate role next season, or is it just me?
This episode is powered by Cuban Round Cigar. It's the best time of the year. The summer is finally here. The grills are heating up and sports are in full swing. Now, that calls for a celebration. The only thing left to do is get yourself a Cuban Round Cigar, whether you're celebrating your college graduation or just having a good time enjoying the good weather. Cuban Rounds are bringing you the taste of Havana. Handcrafted, all natural and affordable price, Cuban Rounds brings you well-balanced cigars featuring intuitive blends and construction that are reminiscent of Cuban mastery. Now, Cuban Rounds offers layers of textured flavor with every single puff. Face it, the last 2 years, they've been tough on all of us. Let loose and enjoy yourself with the Cuban Round cigar. They offer a luxurious experience with a high-quality product at an affordable price. A Cuban Round cigar is a guilty pleasure without the guilt. You can enjoy yourself right now. Follow them on Instagram at Cuban Round Cigar. That's right, at Cuban Round Cigar on Instagram and Facebook.
It's not crazy at all. I mean, I think everyone's expecting them both to have a role. I mean, hell, John was on the show, I think, saying they should start Neesmith, which, and I can tell you what, if he plays more and more like he has, you're going to start hearing that more often, because what he would allow guys like Tatum and Brown to do with him sort of playing off in the corner and opening up the floor. But those guys definitely have big roles. I mean, the way Pritchard's playing, he's basically saying, hey, I know you guys just signed Schroeder and, you know, all this stuff, but don't forget about me, because, you know, I'm going to make sure that when I'm out there, you're not going to want to take me out of the game. And the way he's playing, I mean, talk about range. I mean, this guy has it. I mean, he's shown multiple times over the last couple games, two, three games, that he's not afraid to hit that 30-plus, that 30-footer. I mean, it's simple as that. He's not afraid to take it, and he's been making it. He was feeling it tonight. So those guys certainly have roles. And honestly, if you're the Boston Celtics and you want to make a playoff run, you better hope that they have roles, because you're not deep enough in any other way. I mean, those guys are on your team to have a pretty substantial role. And it might be, maybe it's asking a little bit too much out of them in their second years, but I don't think so. I mean, certainly last year, Pritchard showed that he was capable of, you know, playing out there. I know he hit a little bit of a rookie wall, but generally speaking, I mean, he took at least Celtics Nation by storm out of the gates, cooled off a bit, but I think he certainly has a nice little role carved out. And Neesmith, the way he's playing, and he still has a lot to learn, again, on the defensive end, and I do think he runs around like a crazy man sometimes, but you know what his value is. He can shoot, and what we saw tonight was that he might be able to do a little bit more than just shoot. But we can't talk about Neesmith and Pritchard without talking about the third head of, I would say, the three-headed monster of Romeo Langford. A DNP
oh,
tonight.
Boy. Oh, boy.
A DNS, a did not show, did not dress.
Come on. Don't discredit him for that. Don't discredit him for that, Jimmy. Come on,
I still don't. I just don't know why. I mean, I didn't even – I just assumed he was starting. I didn't really pay much attention of anything pregame. I just turned on the game, and I was like, why isn't Romeo Langford in the game? And then I go on Twitter and see that it's a scheduled day off. That's a little weird to me. I mean, I hope that it really is just a scheduled day off. There's no injuries or anything like that. But at the same time, why isn't he playing? I mean, this guy hasn't certainly hasn't stood out in the first two games, not the way you want him to. I mean, yeah, I know he had the dunk. But if you took away the dunk.
But
well,
honestly,
and he had the game-winning shot. And he had the game. Well, all right, so he's done two really good things. But other than that, though, it's kind of like I think everyone's looking to see a little bit more out of him and certainly probably want to see him in the game.
But it's like what you just said about the dunk, right? I can't help but wonder if the dunk has something to do with his injury. I mean, we know about the wrist injury and, you know, the season that he had, you know, coming into summer league. So,
yeah,
hopefully that's not the case, though. Hopefully they just wanted to showcase the younger guys.
I mean, if you can't go three straight summer league games, like not even talking back to backs, like,
I know.
What are we even talking about here? Like, don't tell me he needs rest.
Well, maybe he got too happy.
You think
about
he was
that,
on the blackjack table too late last night?
No, not even that.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that dunk. Maybe he just went too hard with it. You know, maybe that's what it was. Hopefully I'm wrong, and hopefully it's all about the younger guys, because if that's the case, if it takes that kind of dunk for him to miss a couple of games, then I don't think that's the kind of guy you want for the Celtics, man. Like,
everyone's
injury prone, you know?
You don't want that label, but I'll say this. Don't tell me that, like, he's sitting to give, like, the younger guys. He is the younger guys. Like, you are the younger guy.
Yeah,
75% of the players on this team are not going to be on this team. Like, you are the younger guy. So, like, don't tell me that. Listen, I'm glad that Hauser did his thing tonight, but don't tell me that, you know, you wouldn't have rather see Romeo hit a few of those shots, right? So that's kind of the concern there. I mean, it's more not really a concern to me. It's more just a question mark. And I guess if he's out there Saturday and he looks good and he plays well, then I guess it doesn't really matter. And maybe Pritchard and Nesmith sit Saturday. I don't know what they're talking about in terms of resting guys and all that, but certainly the way Nesmith and Pritchard have been playing, I'd like to see Romeo out there kind of doing a little bit of his thing too, you know, and just give Celtics fans like a reason to be really excited about this summer league team. Because if you told me summer league would end and Nesmith and Pritchard were, you know, two of the top performers, I think you'd be pretty freaking happy with that.
Speaking
of pretty freaking happy.
Yo, right on cue. My guy,
there he is.
Blakely, coming at us from Las Vegas. What's up?
Chug that Pepsi, dude. Does he know that?
It's thirsty out there. He's thirsty out
what's
there.
What's in that? What's in that can, bro?
Sherrod just found out.
The thirst is real, Jimmy.
The thirst is real. I'm sure it is.
The thirst is real. How you guys doing?
I'm chilling.
We're better give now.
Us the, give us the lowdown.
I'm waiting for I'm waiting for Safari Hat Bobby to roll in here. see what our latest excursion will be.
We saw Bobby creeping. We saw Bobby creeping on the court. He walked by the cameras after the game. We saw him creeping with the hat on.
Yo, he was tapping. He was tapping Nesmith's shoulder. Like,
he had the hat on low. Looked like he had found his guy.
But we're not mad at him. We're not mad at him.
Safari.
We like that. We like that energy.
That's Bobby. That's Bobby, man. That's Bobby style.
Sherrod, you were there tonight, man.
Bobby's on the grind.
How was the game, bro?
The score will tell you how the game was. It was over before it started.
Little lopsided.
The cool thing about the game was you saw Pritchard really just kind of control the action from the beginning to end. Sam Hauser, when that three ball is pretty damn special. But for the most part, this game just didn't have a lot of juice to it. You know, it was a good win. And the thing that I do like about the Celtics is that they're getting these summer league teams down and they're just putting the heel on the throat. I mean, they're not letting up at all. So
right. Yeah. I mean, it was a blowout. Like you said, Sherrod, I mean, the way Orlando came out, I mean, it was like turnover, turnover, turnover. I was like, oh boy, like this game's already like looking like it's gonna end before it even started.
I'm not gonna lie. My favorite part of the game, no one saw any of it, was like talking to Jerry Stackhouse about Neesmith. That was like, for me, that was like the best part of the game.
Well, can you enlighten us a little bit? Can you tell us?
Low key, that's a great comp, Sherrod. If he turns into Jerry Stackhouse, that's the guy I wanted him to. I want him talking to Jerry Stackhouse more often.
His former coach Jerry Stackhouse, aka former All Star Jerry Stackhouse, is very complimentary. You know, we had him on a podcast and he talked about how he believed Neesmith in 5 years will be an All Star. And if he can continue to elevate his game and play with the kind of aggression we've seen in summer league, that's not as far-fetched as it might sound. Neesmith is a good player. The improvements he's made in his ball handling, I think, are really that's going to be key to his growth, because the shot making, I think that's going to come. I think he will easily get better in that area, but it's the ball handling. It's the things that he can do when he's not looking for his own shot. That's what's going to define how good he's going to be.
Well, what did you think about the fact that he was looking for shots that were inside the three-point arc? Like, I love the fact that he wasn't discouraged by, you know, only going 2 for 7. You know, he continued to look for other looks. Like, I think there's much to be said about that, you know?
Yeah, he's got to be a smarter player. I mean, he's got to figure out ways to impact the game other than the three ball. And I thought when he first came into the league, I thought that was really weighed heavily on his mind. And now he's just out there trying to make plays. And more times than not, it's him being able to score in different ways, because Peyton is, you know, it's no secret. Peyton is looking for him because Peyton is a point guard. That's what you do. You get the rock to the guy who can make shots. So
I think those two are key for next year, man. I really do. Like, I don't know.
Is that an Oregon shirt Jimmy has on?
Yes, he's repping.
So now you're going to jump on a Peyton bandwagon. Now you're going to jump.
I bought this shirt.
That's what I told him.
In 2019 prior to Peyton Pritchard, but I will say that, you know, it's a happy coincidence that I'm wearing it in the night where he was logo Pritchard tonight. Sherrod, another guy, Neesmith aside, I mean, Pritchard's, they're kind of like the Splash Brothers out there right now.
Oh, stop, Jimmy.
I'm just saying, dude, shades of the Splash Brothers out there, dude.
Damn, you talk about what am I drinking? I think I need to ask you that damn question. Splash Brothers.
I gave you the benefit of the doubt. Oregon has a great color pattern, so that's why he's rocking it. And now we got Bobby Manning joining us with the hat on and everything. What's up, Bobby?
Bucket hat.
Are the Celtics going to win this all, or what's up, man? Are they going to be the summer league champs or what? Like, they are balling right now.
We'll see. I don't know if they're going to sit a guy down the stretch here. It was very weird what happened with Langford today. Joe Mazzulla didn't say anything about it, really. Just said he didn't play. He's fine. He'll play on Saturday. So that's all we got on that front. And I don't know. I tried to see if Pritchard, any of these other guys, again, take a seat down the stretch here. Couldn't get anything on that either. So here I am, empty-handed.
That's okay. You know, don't go so hard on yourself.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
I was going to ask, but we already asked Sherrod what his thoughts were on you know, Neesmith tonight, but what did you see out there between Neesmith and Pritchard?
Well, Pritchard's range is crazy. That shot at the end of the third was Curry range, Sherrod, right?
It was Curry-like range, but you know what? His reaction was so non-Curry.
Yeah, but don't call him Splash Brothers, Bobby.
Stop it, Jimmy. Stop it, Jimmy.
Well, last two games, he's been pushing triple-double totals with the assists, strong rebounding. I know John said it looks like he's a bit out of shape. But the stockiness, I think, has helped him in the lane physically. Still not a ton of the pick-and-roll stuff you want to see out of him. But overall, his reads in transition, finding guys on the sideline, the movement on this team. You asked if they're going to win the title. I think they're pretty well connected right now. And if they keep playing these guys together, to beat an Orlando team that's got Hampton, Suggs, all these different guys, probably the most lottery talent in the summer league. I don't know. Houston's probably the only other team. I don't know the record, so. Like, I don't know who else is in the running here.
But the one thing I'll say is this. When your team is stocked with lottery-type talent on the summer league roster, that means you're probably going to be a team that's all about potential and not progress.
Yes, that's what we saw in Orlando.
You got lots of potential, but I mean, that team's not going to be very good. I like Suggs. I think he's going to be really good.
He's been quiet out here.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see these guys making a significant impact once the games start and they matter. Mm-hmm. But it's fun to watch them play out here in summer league, run around a little bit, get Romeo Duncan on a couple guys every now and then.
Yeah, that's what summer league is all about. You don't really care that much about the – I mean, listen, if the Celtics – go undefeated and win the title. Are they going to raise a banner in the TD Garden? I don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe
I like a summer league title.
Maybe I'll retire my Oregon T-shirt if they do. But the wins and losses aside,
you got thrown in the back the way Bobby does with the Al Horford jersey.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
We might have to make our own. That would be fun. It doesn't mean everything, obviously, but you've seen some decent young cores win a summer league title. I believe that Memphis team with Brandon Clark did it. The Lakers did it when they got that young cast together that I believe had Kuzma as the MVP. I don't know if Ingram and Ball were out there for that thing, but
yeah,
hey,
MVP. I remember that.
We did all this complaining after the first game that Pritchard and Nesmith haven't separated themselves. Exactly. They're out here destroying teams now and doing it in different ways than we've seen last year. Pritchard able to create for teammates and set guys up as a floor general. Nesmith getting off the bounce into those mid-range, doing some sidestep, step-back action. He's been really able to create his own shot in a way that we didn't see last year. So we wanted progress today, and we'll see how it translates, but we have definitely seen progress from two guys that are very important. Langford, three games later, remains to be seen, but you really only needed one wing to step up, right? And Nesmith's doing that.
Well, Bobby, yeah. let me follow up on that, because I thought it was so interesting that Nesmith wasn't the kind of guy who had to rely on his three-point shot to flirt with the 20-point scoring night, right? Like, obviously, he didn't score as many points as he did, you know, the last summer league game. But what do you have to say about the fact that he was able to get inside that three-point arc and find other ways to score, as opposed to like having to drop 5 or 7 three-pointers in order to reach 20-plus points?
It's impressive. It shows that he's going to be able to do other things than just be a spot-up shooter in this league, which is really all he did early last year. He has struggled at times from the three-point line. He did again today. Jimmy crossed out all those X's on the shot chart. I pulled up to try to make it look like a more beautiful night. But I said,
you said beautiful. Like, dude, you can't say beautiful night and then put a graphic up where it's like X.
No, but overall, he was 7 of 14 from the field. You guys hate the three-pointer. A lot of people on this network hate the three-pointer. You should be happy about a 5 or 7 star, 4 mid-range shots. That's a pure-looking shot from him in between there. Shot that he's going to be able to get, because I'm going to try to run him off the line, try to make him go off the dribble there. So just hugely encouraging the progress that we've seen from him. Now, there's still times where he looks a little methodical, gets caught up in his own mistakes. I've seen that from him in this summer league, bounce, smashing the ball off the floor and just getting frustrated when he makes one wrong move. It's going to be a lot more mistakes in year two. He's going to be able to roll with those punches. That's something I talked to Sherrod about during one of the games. It's like, this guy freaks out over mistakes more than I've ever seen. He's a perfectionist. You can tell.
Get over it.
Yeah, for
it's
real.
It's not perfect. It's never will be a perfect game. You make mistakes.
Especially if you're a shooter.
It's not how you deal with the mistakes. It's how do you bounce back from them. You know, the best players will have games where they go 4 for 17. But you know what? On that 18th shot where you're down by two and you got the rock and you got a good look at a three-point shot, the great ones make that. The good ones make it more times than not. But the guys who hesitate, nah. I think Nesmith is trending in the right direction. I think he's going to steadily become more comfortable regardless of how he's shooting the ball, to just keep shooting, because that's what got you to the league. Don't forget what got you to the league.
Shooters have to be like cornerbacks. Like, if you're a corner and you get burned on a big catch, you got to shake that off, forget about it, and get, you know, the next play is coming up. And that leads me to my next point. Patriots post game live tonight after Patriots Washington football team. See how they
looking at you. That's your next point.
That's why John Zanis isn't on the show tonight. He's going to be overdoing the Patriots. The Patriots cheating on us tonight with the Patriots. So check that out. I think there'll be some links posted in the chat probably. There you go. That'll be fun. First game back at the Pats. A lot of hype going into this game. How's Cam going to look? How's Mac going to look? Early reports seem like Mac had a pretty good first showing.
I didn't get a chance to watch the
whole thing, but it feels like overall people are sure,
keeping
it,
so. Tabs on the Pats. I haven't heard anything.
Mac's gonna win that, huh?
Yeah, should have tuned over in the fourth quarter.
I think yeah, Cam had it like an early turnover, right? Where he got, I think, sacked or stripped or something like that.
Probably. I missed that, but he had a pretty tough, I'm not going to get into it, but it was like 3rd and 17, like threw it into the dirt. Anyways, they'll talk about that at length on the Patriots post game show. So
we will not. Thanks, stay tuned for bringing for more that up, info. Though.
We will not talk about it anymore. No, we'll bring it up one more time. John's going to, I think, pop his head in and sabotage the show at some point. So we'll let him do that at some point. But back to the Summer Celtics, I just want to say one thing. I'm not really hung up on wins and losses. I don't care if they win the thing. It would be great if they do. What I wanted to see was role players show that they belong as role players in the NBA. And so far, we're seeing 2 out of 3 guys. 2 out of 3 ain't bad, is the saying. So right now, we're seeing Neesmith step up, and we're definitely seeing Pritchard step up. And those are guys, and Josue asked me prior to Sherrod and Bobby coming on, if you see those guys having, you know, decent roles on the team this year. And I think the answer to that is a definite yes. It has to be, because if you're not getting those guys off the bench, or in some cases, maybe even starting if it's Neesmith at some points, then you're thin. You're too thin, because you don't have enough depth if those guys aren't contributing, because you're looking at those guys as solid contributors this year. So to see them sort of show out a bit, that's something that, you know, if you're a Celtics fan, and if you're in the Celtics organization, you have to be thrilled about, because you're going to need them in big ways throughout an 82-game season.
You know what? It may very well become my very first, apology cam for Bruno Fernando.
Oh man, yeah.
Bruno.
He's been pretty damn good.
He has been.
Bruno's been, and again,
for now,
up to this point, he has done maybe just fighting a smidgen more spot. Than you. He's done like maybe a smidgen more than you, Jimmy, have done in the NBA. So the expectation level is extremely low.
Just about. He's getting an opportunity right now, and I'm not.
He's good. He's playing really well. I love what I'm seeing out of him. I love the fact that he can put it on the floor. I love that he can finish. He's doing good. He's doing a lot of good stuff. But
yeah,
I always have to put it in a framework of, remember, it's summer league.
Mm-hmm.
So many guys I've seen become summer league stars. And when the games actually count, forget about the games that count. Let's just even get to the preseason. They don't even play well in the preseason. Forget about the regular season. So he's done well in summer league. The next step, what can he establish himself when he's going against the Robert Williams and the Al Horfords in practice and earning minutes and taking some of the minutes from those guys? That, to me, is what I'm much more interested in Bruno Fernando now than I was like a week ago.
He's not going to do that.
Bobby?
From Horford and Rob, Bobby, I don't see it. There's Bobby. Some injury depth here.
No,
it went from being something that where there was no shot to where now it's a long shot, and that's progress. Because
before, that is true.
Before summer league, there was no shot, but now at least it's not as big a stretch to imagine that he could carve out 5-10 minutes per game the way he plays. One shot, so, me.
Right. Here's, I mean, he's no Bobby. Bobby.
I mean, that means Rob's not playing 48.
Bobby, he's no Moses Brown, you know? So you gotta take what you can. You know what I mean?
You're right, Jimmy.
So, those are the guys we gotta compare there. And, you know, Drew Sway, you talked about this when Brown came to the Celtics. He was a phenomenal rebounder. That is the one thing I'll really give him that he proved last year. I need to see a little bit more of that from Fernando, because Orlando was swallowing up the offensive rebounds early in this game when the game was tighter before it separated later. I love his high post movement. I love his ability to take the ball on the dribble, which we've seen here. May even be a little shooting potential there, looking at him pregame, just the way his shot looks there. Free throw, hovering just below 70% for his career, so that's going to have to clean up in that sense. And then his size, his length, I think is just a little on the small side for him to be a defensive stopper out there. But the energy is infectious, the yelling. He pile-drived the guy and was like, foul on one of the plays. So there's great energy there. There's a lot of hustling on in his game. It's a project. He's 23, I believe. So he's very early in his career, and there's an opportunity if he sticks with this team to develop, play a little bit in Maine, I'd imagine. This is a guy I liked a lot in college. He was a great energy at Maryland when I saw him coming up to Syracuse. So I don't know if that Mo Brown, Bruno Fernando conversation is going to keep rolling for a while here.
I think
yeah,
like
for a little bit, a little while.
Sherrod mentioned, I mean, he's doing everything he can right now to hang on to one of these roster spots. So I've liked what I've seen. I mean, again, it's limited role. You know, we're talking, some, you know, I don't even know what number you'd put him on the rotation, you know, close to probably 9 or 10, 11, 12. I don't even know, but he's not a guy that's going to be.
There's a lot of bigs in front of him.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of bigs. Not a guy that's going to be coming in, you know, to give you 20 minutes a game. But if he can come in and give you that energy, I mean, if he can come in and spark the team a little bit, you know, how many times have we said that the Celtics just look flat out there, you know? So it would be great if he can provide that. So
you would love Rob to be able to play over 25 minutes a game this year, potentially. You would love Horford to be able to play every single game this year and not have to rest a ton. And you would like Cantor to be able to get in there under a new coach much more than he did with Steven. So ultimately, if Bruno doesn't play at all this year, I don't think it'll be the worst thing in the world. I feel differently about Sam Hauser. Have we talked about him yet?
I was just going to lead into that. Because we did a little tease that you may or may not have spoken to Hauser after the game. And we did see you creeping up on him on the court. Somebody did tweet me a picture.
Could you not say creeping, Jimmy? Can we just
creeping.
Say
that
he looked like he was kind of – he had the hat on low. It looked like he had, you know, was kind of –
Yo, Bobby, Jimmy –
he's walking up on it with like a you know, freaking – overcoat on with his hands in his pockets.
Well, he did have the bucket hat on, so you just don't know
with this hat.
You don't know with these guys. Bob, why don't you talk to us about Hauser?
Lots of comments on the hat in the tunnel, by the way.
Give me some.
It's a mixed reviews.
mixed reviews, to put it lightly.
Hauser was like, take off that silly ass hat. No,
I got called a safari look at one point down there. But anyway.
Yeah, I can see that. I can totally see it. Well, you're the bucket hat guy for the rest of the weekends in Vegas. So congrats to that.
You got to hold it down, though.
I stole three. He was actually on the podium after the game. So a lot of the basketball stuff got out of the way there in terms of his shooting role. Joe Mazzulla was very impressed with his off-ball movement that opened up certain guys. In fact, I'm going to have to go back and look at one of the plays that he said was the most unselfish summer league play he's ever seen, where his movement opened Nesmith wide open and he didn't make it. But the movement off the ball, he said, was just absolutely phenomenal from this guy. He's got decent size. I think he's 6'6". You know, he's going to be able to play the wing for this team when he does come up from Maine in those two-way opportunities. And the shot is pure. I think he was 42% at Virginia last year. Sherrod, he had 20-plus on Syracuse twice, including in that tournament game where Syracuse lost an ACC tournament. So this guy's a sharpshooter.
Hate to see that.
Tony Bennett would toss around names like...
Shut up, Jimmy.
Clay Thompson, some of the best shooters you've ever heard of is the names. All right, 6'8", I'm seeing in the comments. So, yeah, he is even taller. Could play some four, stretch four for this team. I like his game. His shot is pure. And we heard a lot of the basketball stuff in the post game. I actually talked to him about a lot of the charity work he does. He's been doing like social justice stuff, charity, studied like just education things. Of like low-income communities at Virginia. That was like a big research project he did there. So this guy's like very involved.
He majored
in
education things.
I didn't get a firm grasp on what it was specifically. I think it was just like connecting people to different educational opportunities or something like that. So I mean, he's been pretty involved in the community throughout his life. So that's something I want to hit on briefly with him, and write about over the next few days here.
What do you think?
Oh, by the way, he can flat out shoot. Damn.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it looks
sure
pure.
Looked like it.
Up close. It looks like shit. Looks really pure.
I got to pull this Tony Bennett quote.
So where's a guy like Hauser? Where does he end up? Does he end up in the league somewhere? Or does he end up overseas? Like, how does –
Maine first, then with the Celtics.
That's what I was thinking. Send him to Maine.
I think he –
He has a two-way contract now. He's signed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
you don't have to worry about him.
Yeah, you'll see him in some Celtics games.
So the main Celtics are going to have themselves a nice little shooter this year.
Absolutely.
If I had to guess, because I don't know if Carson Edwards is still going to be around. You know, I think the Dennis Schroeder signing sort of changes things in the sort in the sense of where people stand.
Who did you say, Josue?
I said Carson Edwards, man. His days might be numbered right now.
Jimmy knows where I'm going.
I do know where you're going with that. Yeah, his days might be numbered, but
what you mean? What's going on?
Yeah, I think at this point, I just think he just hopes to have a number.
Yeah.
I think Carson at this point just hopes to have a number.
He's not. Yeah.
Let the days be numbered all they want to be, but do I have a number?
He may not leave Vegas.
I don't know. And I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, he might just stay out in Vegas and just try to hook up with another team.
Oh, man. Yo, but not for nothing, though. Carson sound bummed out way before the Dennis Schroeder signing. Not bummed out, but it almost seemed like he was like, listen, I'm just going to keep shooting, and if that's not enough for you guys to convince you guys, then I'm going to keep it moving. Like, I just felt like he never sort of sent the message that he was working on any other part of his game outside of shooting from behind the arc. You know what I mean?
Then shoot the brick, though. What can he do? He's not going to. He can't post up. He can't lock you up defensively. He's not going to run your team because he's not. He doesn't have that kind of. He's not a playmaker.
I was almost like Sherrod. I was almost like, yo, Carson, can you just lie to me? Can you say you worked on defense? Can you say you care? Can you say you care about defense? Like, geez, like
he's just in that weird place where I think he's better than guys who play overseas, but maybe not good enough to be an NBA player. It's a weird place he's in right now. He's got to be in the right situation at the right time, and I'm not sure that's Boston right now.
Not right now.
The way that they're starting to stack talent, it looks like they're starting to be like,
especially at the guard position.
How are you doing over there?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
the house is getting kind of full.
I mean,
there's only so much room in VIP backcourt. Wow.
Right.
And you may be at the door knocking, try to get in. Yeah. I don't know if you're going to get into the VI guard suite with the Celtics.
Not anymore. Right.
I mean, and what you're seeing now is the difference is like a guy like Pritchard, for example, is taking that step. He's taking that next step where he is sort of definitely, you know,
I've been really impressed by him.
For sure. And he's definitely distancing himself from the rest of the pack. And proving that he's a reliable option off the bench. I mean, there were times last season where we were pulling our hair out, being like, "Where's Pritchard? Well, why doesn't Pritchard get the spot start? Why isn't he, you know, coming off the bench and playing, you know, 25 minutes?" And I don't think we're going to be asking ourselves that question this year. I think that he's going to show early on in camp or whenever he gets that opportunity. Now he's showing it, but once the team gets together, I think he's going to show that, you know, he belongs as like a pretty permanent rotational player.
There's some versatility there, too, between guards and the wing spot that he can play. And I know that's something Mazzulla hit on, is that, like, he sort of fits in as a pseudo-wing. Not defensively, but the way he shoots off the ball. He doesn't have to have the ball in his hands to impact the game alongside the Jays, because he can step out from way beyond the three-point line and catch the ball and knock down these threes over and over again. And we've given Danny Ainge a lot of grief for his last few seasons here, but the gift that keeps giving, his final gift to the Celtics, is going to be
final gift.
Pritchard. Yep, one of
his final gift was an NBA Hall of Famer.
And think of how valuable shooting is in the league now. Like, you can overcome any other deficiency and make this league by being an elite shooter. He has other areas of his game that are pretty good, but on top of it all, he's been above 40% from three his whole life in the league, throughout the first season, into the summer league. He just knocks them down like nothing. And he was one of the best catch and shoot guys, period, last year in the league. So if he can start to impact the ball handling distribution part of the game, like they've really stressed with him, it's going to be huge. And it might, you know, start to make some decisions on some of these other guards down the line here. Of course, there's three guys with expiring contracts in front of them. It will be hard for him to play consistently this year. Sherrod and I talked about that in our video yesterday. Like, there's a lot that he's going to have to break through still to get regular minutes on this team. But the fact that he can play the wing in the point spot, it'd be huge for him.
And it might be Danny Ainge's last gift, but we did see him on the sidelines in game two. I don't know if you guys saw him tonight, but he was there game two in a Celtics shirt, by the way. So maybe he's still pulling some strings behind the scenes. We don't really know what's going on.
Hardly home, but always repping, baby. That's Danny Ainge right there. Hardly home, always repping.
As long as it's on the West Coast.
I mean, did you honestly expect that the next time you saw Danny Ainge at a game, he would not be in some way, shape, or form repping the Celtics? Come on, Jimmy.
I mean, it was like a front office, you know. It was like the shirts that he always wore. So I'm just saying.
Oh, you mean
like
the shirts that he's got like 20 years worth of? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, he's just,
but now
he just packed now he's flexing with the same shirt.
Now he's in flex mode. I like it.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
He's sitting next to Brad, I think, too. So
he's like, "You're welcome, everybody. You're welcome."
Here's the thing about Danny, though, because I talked to Danny earlier this week about just where things stand with him and the Celtics, and he made it clear that Brad and his staff are running things, but he is a sounding board for them. So sounding boards are going to be in the building.
That's when, right.
And that's why they're there, so to bounce things off of. And I think he enjoys that role because, to me, it's the best role you could possibly have. Because if something works out well and you're a sounding board, well, shit, you know, I was a sounding board. I made that happen. And if it doesn't work out well, it's just like, well, you know what? It wasn't my decision. I was just a sounding board.
Hey, yeah, right.
He is in a perfect position to be impactful with none of the culpability that comes with decision making. So,
Look who it is.
Speaking of a sounding board,
Hova.
John Zanis, everybody.
Jay-Z is
in the building.
What's going on, John? What's up with the Pats? Give us a Pats update.
Jay-Z. I like basketball,
I'm surprised I don't see a Fox. No, a Fox John, you, background.
You can't sit with us.
I only stayed for the first
us.
Half.
You can't sit with us.
So you stay long enough to see Cam get stripped.
I watched Cam. watched a little
that's
back.
The only thing, that's the only thing that I saw or John, heard about in the first half.
John said, I've seen enough. I'm out.
To be fair, Isaiah Wynn might need to be looking for a new job after that one.
Man.
Well, because it's tough against.
He got undressed on that sack by Cam. But Cam, again, like everything, like always, he just can't feel the pressure ever. He's just sitting there like, and again, it came quick, but like, he just whatever. Anyway,
all right. Hold on, Joe. We gotta put you on. We gotta put you on a hot seat here, though. Who's starting? Yeah. Week one, Cam Newton or the rookie? Who's starting?
All right. Hot seat. Jones. Okay. Here I am on the hot seat. I don't believe the Romeo excuse. Okay, that's my number one thing.
Oh, you got theories now.
I'm dubious.
Romeo died in Vegas. Is that the next theory that we're gonna get?
We couldn't get any.
It doesn't smell right.
We couldn't get any answers, John.
It doesn't pass the smell test.
I think it's the wrist. I don't know.
Off of an off day.
I think it's the wrist.
An off day, and he needs rest.
He did look completely fine on the bench.
And it came out of nowhere. No way.
Oh, he looked fine on the bench, Bobby. Yeah.
No, Josue just said a wrist thing. He didn't have anything on his wrist.
Sherrod knows something. Sherrod knows something.
There was a moment in the last game where he either took a spill or he got fouled hard, but there was something, and he stayed down there for not too long, but long enough to where you're like, oh, God. Because I remember I couldn't see exactly what happened. I'm like,
Mr. Glass.
The they were like, it's Romeo. I'm like,
Mr. Glass.
But he was able to get back up, and I guess he kept playing. But Romeo – would anyone be shocked if there's some kind of injury that they're like, you know, they're going to give him some rest and then –
Here's what's strange, Sherrod. If he was shut down, if they just said, all right, we've seen enough from him, that's it, you'd understand that answer, even though we probably wouldn't be satisfied with it. But he's going to play on Saturday, apparently. So
here's the only way that's going to make sense. If either Neesmith or Pritchard does not play on Saturday. Because then your thinking is, okay, they rested Romeo on this third game. They'll play him on Saturday, but we're going to rest one of our other guys in the final game.
Which you have. You frequently see in these summer league games, so they rest three people at a time. Often they're like they're all out, and we'll let the real.
You said this too, John. They have a small team, so they can't sit these four guys at once, probably.
Yeah, right. But that's the only way that I can buy the Romeo. Is you know this was a planned thing, because if it was a planned thing, then you sit him first, and then you sit one of those other two guys. But if those guys play and Romeo plays,
Mm-mm.
Is it weird that we didn't see a whole lot of Yam tonight? Right? What do you have? 14 minutes? I mean,
that was a good thing. That was a good thing.
That's a good thing? You think? That was a good thing. Well, I would assume in a game like that, that's where you would see 25 plus minutes out of Romeo, right?
Well, you wanted to see Sam Hauser. I mean, that's the guy. That's your two-way contract guy. That's the guy that is supposedly a shooter but doesn't play enough to where you can know if he can shoot or not. He got that chance tonight, and he killed it. He did exactly what he was supposed to do.
Yeah,
so, he went off.
Yeah.
I think he started 2-10 in the first two games.
I would have much rather the Celtics, you know, when asked about Romeo, said we wanted to make sure Sam got minutes, and this was a way of us doing it. That would have been my excuse. That would have been
Bergeron started over him there.
I hate that excuse. Listen, I said this earlier.
That's legit.
I just said this earlier, though. Romeo, it's like, oh, I want to give the young guys minutes. Romeo is one of the young guys. Like,
yeah, you are a young guy.
More than him? Who needs minutes more than Romeo?
My conspiracy is less injury and more like, I just didn't like where this guy's head was at right now, you know, because we've been talking about, like, is he taking it seriously or not? You wonder if it's kind of like.
I like that conspiracy, too, because it was just like, what do you know?
I had a place.
And before people say, like, fake news, you're making stuff up, I'm absolutely making this up. I'm just saying.
When you think about the quotes, though, like before this thing started, he's like, I mean, I didn't have to, but
I don't like anything about it from his press conference to everything that he's done and the attitude. It's like, Romeo, you got one fan in this town, buddy, and it's me. Okay,
and that's not the fan you want,
Romeo.
And I'm trying,
Romeo.
I'm trying.
I'm not ready to
turn on you. He will turn on you in a second, Romeo. Don't trust that shit.
Yeah. If you only have one fan, you don't want it to be John Zan. Because you will have zero fans very quickly.
Are you impressed by Hauser, John? Did he do it for you today?
Dude, I love shooting. You know that.
Yeah, I hope so.
I got to give you guys this quote because this is so good from his college coach last year, Tony Bennett. He goes, I've had
Tony
the privilege to coach Klay Thompson and Joe Harris, Malcolm Brogdon, Kyle Guy. You start going down that list, and it's like, whoa, I'm so proud of Sam. So he's putting them right up with these, these names. Klay Thompson, Joe Harris, Malcolm Brogdon, Kyle Guy in terms of shooters.
I just have this weird feeling that when Brogdon was coming out, that was kind of his sentiment. When the other guys were coming out, he was kind of putting him in that category too. I don't know. That seems a little too, I don't know, prepackaged.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, you kind of take whoever is the current flavor that I'm losing off my team, who's going to maybe be in the pros. I'm going to make him like, he's just as good as those other guys I've coached.
On a side note, the actual Tony Bennett, the OG Tony Bennett, hit on my mom one time.
Wait, what?
Wow. He did.
Tell me you were there.
My mom told us they were in a hotel together. My dad went to get a drink, and Tony Bennett kind of snuck up there. He's like, how are you doing?
Tony Bennett could have been his dad.
How you doing?
Did you just say Tony Bennett could have been his dad?
Yeah.
Could have been.
Might still be.
Now I need a side by side of John and Tony Bennett.
He might be.
No, I think Tony.
now that's accurate.
No,
you can't sing.
No,
Tony Bennett
sing.
was pulling that move where as soon as the guy goes to the bathroom, he's tucked in there, man. That's not the move.
Oh, he's Tony Bennett.
I don't like that.
Yeah. He doesn't even need a move.
I guess he can get away with that. That's true.
Couple of things, just
or he can just start singing.
You guys
start singing, so.
No, I can't. You guys covered all of it, but I did want to double down. The Nesmith, yes, we're hard on him game one because you wanted to see him dominate. And you guys said it earlier, you know, and he dominates games two and three. But it's just what Sharada talked about, the handle, you know, like, and I tweeted it, like, just go into the hole. Like, he had those back-to-back plays where he took a guy off the dribble, and then he had another one where he drives, and then he kicks to whoever it was down low for the bucket. Like, that stuff didn't happen last year. And, you know, you can attribute so much of that to no opportunity to practice that kind of stuff. You're just thrown in against really fast, really athletic NBA players, and you don't have time to, like, see it. You don't have time to go in your bag. You can just kind of focus on the things that you know how to do. And so he just never had a time to – and it was rough, too. It still had a lot of people I'm seeing compare it to Jaylen. I see that. Mm-hmm. You know, Jaylen's still figuring things out with his handle. Where can I get to? How can I do what I want to do? You're figuring out how this thing goes. But that's a definite evolution in his game we didn't see last year. And Pritchard coming on, looking like he just went back to his old gym to, you know, tool on his high school buddies. Like, that's the type of vibe he's got right now.
Yo, Pritchard reminds me of the guy who He's a junior on varsity. He goes to the holiday tournament and just lights it up.
Just lights it up.
Because there's no seniors there. There's no seniors there, so he's going off. Yeah.
Or the pro who goes to Rucker and he's just like, watch me shoot from 40, you know, like.
Yeah,
you know?
For real.
This is right. So encouraging on Neesmith, right. though, because the thing coming out of the draft with him is, all right, he's a spot-up shooter now.
Oh, shit. Washington gets the two-point conversion. We could be able to do overtime.
What's the score?
Oh, boy.
15-all.
How many unnecessary overtimes this week?
Why would they go for two and force an overtime?
Because they're the Washington freaking football.
Execution.
And the football team.
That's crazy. That's the kind of...
These teams are grinding out here at Summer League.
Isn't
too.
It an like unwritten
forcing
rule?
Overtime,
in,
forcing
in,
double overtime.
Unwritten rule in preseason football to not go to overtime?
Yeah.
I just want to say real quick on Neesmith, like there was a possibility with his length and his size and his physique, really. Like he looks even stronger than he did last year. And he came in looking pretty good in terms of muscle, that he could be more than a shooter. And John mentioned that dish toward the end to Hauser, I think it was, in the lane, playing some point on that possession. His length on defense gives him some serious potential on that end. And the rebounding. Like, remember that month last year when he was just all over the offensive boards? And I went back to his
He's
Vanderbilt.
He's still getting after it.
He had some huge rebounding games at Vanderbilt, like 15 boards in certain games, like as many as that much. So he's a guy who could average like 6, 7, maybe even 8 rebounds a game if he gets into a regular role on this team. Now, what we got to see ultimately with the theme that Udoka's undertaken is whether he's going to be in rotation defensively and locked in on that end and, you know, able to play well through the pick and roll and all this different stuff that you have to do on this level. Because that's where he really struggled last year, right? Was like knowing the defense coming in and keeping up with things like that.
Neesmith?
Yeah.
He was getting, and they made a big deal about it in the last game. The broadcasters.
That's going to decide how much he plays.
He's getting blown by a little bit here. He's coming out. He's taking weird angles. And guys are taking him off the dribble. Defensively, he's overplaying times when he doesn't need to. You know, like positionally, he's almost like. He's kind of got Rob Williams, you know, year two vibes, you know, like just kind of like, what are you doing here? Just in terms of his positioning and just sometimes being a little over aggressive. He's got to kind of chill out a little bit on the defensive end. He's a little too all over the place there.
Everybody we've talked about today still has to prove their worth defensively. Like, you really can't do that in summer league. And
Romeo's the only one, and that's why he played. Romeo's the only one.
So that's why he's sitting on the bench. They're like, all right, we know you get the defense. That's all you really
need.
They
felt good about his D, but you're waiting to see some other evolution to his game. Something.
Please.
Yeah.
Please.
Some of the viewers here are probably more knowledgeable than we are saying there's no overtime in preseason games, which would be great. So I will tell if that's
I knew it was an unwritten rule, but I didn't know it was a written rule.
I didn't know that. But yeah, that's good.
Have you guys seen the sudden death overtimes here? Like I asked
that Brooklyn game was fire.
I asked the Celtics coach about those after the game, and he was like, cool.
We need to make those the first overtime sudden death.
It's 2 minutes, and then it's a sudden death. But that was so
just
funny.
I don't want 2 minutes. Just go straight to sudden death.
Three-point contest.
Yeah,
exactly. Like that. Get your best shooter at one end of the four, our best shooter at the other.
Three-point shootout. Hauser versus whoever you got. Go.
Exactly.
I posted
best versus the best.
I was just going to say, I posted the video of that. I think it was Dallas and Utah, and the guy got fouled on the first play in the sudden death. He missed the first free throw because all you had to do was hit the free throw in the game. So he takes the second one, and like guys are getting on in his face from the other team to like try to like distract him before the second one, and then like a little fight almost broke up, and then he hit the second one. That was the game. I loved that. I mean, it's never going to be something that happens in a real game, but I like that they try fun things out here. And you know, you can foul 10 times in these games.
Yep.
A guy in the Knicks last night had 9 fouls. I was like, oh, geez, that's like the worst way you can prove yourself to fit in the league is 9 fouls in a game, in a 40-minute game.
He's going for that triple-double.
He's checking back into the game. I was like, okay, all right.
Did I do good, coach? Like, no, you did not do good.
And it's a 40-minute game. 9 fouls?
Sit down, son. You know.
I'm still in the game. It's a 40-minute game, and you fouled 9 times.
My guy, you damn near fouled out twice. You damn near fouled out twice.
I said in the chat yesterday, someone's got to tell Neesmith that you can foul 10 times because he will use them.
Well, no, my question for you guys, though, Bobby and Shiraz, since you two were there, Peyton Pritchard's distance, is this a legitimate thing that we could actually say is going to form into, you know, a legitimate threat for opposing teams? Like, I don't know how much of this – like, don't get me wrong. I love it. I love the fact that he's taking that chance. And I would love for him to add that into his game. But do you see it, you know, coming into next season that he's going to be able to lock that down and something that he's able to – that Celtics could rely on to knock a three of that? Like one of two shots like that a game?
He better. I mean, why the hell are you shooting it now if you're not going to shoot it in the games? Don't pull a Ben Simmons and do this stuff in practice and that you don't do in games.
Oh, did you see we got our 1 3-minute Ben Simmons shooting jumpers clip.
We got it. Him and Rondo always get it. People.
We always get it. You get it. He's still shooting lefty. He hits two or three of them, and everyone's like, ooh, it looks good.
You know? I will not be Charlie Brown by him. He will not Charlie Brown me. I'm not buying. I am not trying to.
Right.
You can't. Look at me. I'm going to shoot threes. No, I'm not buying it.
Meanwhile, Philly can't even get a hold of him, so I don't know if I'm buying it.
We'll see.
The Pritchard stuff is real, though. That stuff is real, you know? Like,
I agree.
Okay.
You know?
I like that.
But what the question is, can he do it? Yes. Does he have the sack to do it? Like, if you're a bench
Summer
guy.
Summer League is one thing. Right.
If you're a bench guy, how many 35-footers is your coach going to allow? You
35,
know?
Maybe not. But listen, this guy wasn't scared to shoot last year. And now if he's confident that he can step back an extra 3, 4, 5 feet, we'll do it. I mean, if you give it to him, I think he has no issue taking it.
Yeah, hey, I don't know if he's catching and shoot from that. I don't know if he catch and shoot from that distance. And again, like, I think we're still going to see him in that role next year on the wing more than at the point guard spot. Because, like, who's he going to play over among Smart, Richardson, and Schroeder? That's a lot
Ramondre
of guys.
Ramondre Stevenson, my boys. 91-yard touchdown.
Yeah, but see, that's why I'm thinking he's trying to add that to his
game. The running back they drafted.
He's a rookie, right?
He wants to separate himself from the rest.
I just traded for Harris on the Patriots, so I need all the other Patriots running backs to not. I need Damian Harris.
Ramondre Stevenson just went 90 yards. Yeah. Let me say this because I know you guys got a boogie too, and I'm about to do the same.
Yeah, let's wrap up real quick. Yeah,
but let me just give you guys a thing. 30 minutes after the game ends, we're going up on Patriots Press Pass, our YouTube channel there, with the Patriots post game show. Myself and Evan Lazar, we were both down in Foxborough. He's still there. He's got to go dig in and do some interviews, hear from Mac, hear from Cam, and then he's gonna jump on post game. We're gonna go for as long as whatever. But any of you guys football fans and you want some good analysis, obviously, we were there. Evan is there, charting the plays and keeping an eye on the game.
He's like Rain Man.
He's amazing.
Yeah,
he really is. Like he will do not debate football with him. He will just put you in a fuck.
He's also he's pretty freaking.
And he'll look at you like you're a piece of shit. He'll be like, "Yo, why are you?"
He's got a lot of conviction. So
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
He believes it. He knows what he's talking about. So he knows.
That's my guy. That's my guy.
And one of the great things getting to watch there, you do get to see a lot more. Obviously the vantage point from the press box is great because you're seeing everything versus TV. So you do get to, okay, that guy was open. He missed a guy there, blah, 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 or whatever. And you do definitely see some of that stuff. So you get a good idea of what Mac was looking at there. And he had a good game, I think, overall impressive. So we'll hear from Evan and myself. I'm going to go pretty up a little bit.
Please do.
And and go there. I'll let you guys close it out. But, again, anybody wants to join us 30 minutes after the final whistle, which will be in a couple of minutes from
now.
Where
can they get the link?
The link will be tweeted out on our Patriots Twitter account, Patriots CLNS. Make sure you follow there. If you guys are still on 5 minutes from now, I'll have Ahmed put it in the stream. All right, guys? I'm out.
All right. Appreciate you, John. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody at home. See you guys. See you guys in a few minutes.
All right. Sounds good, John. Damn, John.
Real quick.
John's got a busy-ass day. So, yeah, let's make this quick, guys. Let's go around real quick. Final thoughts. Let's start with Sharon and Bobby since you guys are out there, of course. I mean, Saturday night. I mean, before you guys jumped on, I said if they win this Saturday, I don't see why they don't get at least get into the championship round, because, you know, they've been blowing teams out at least for the last couple of games here. So what's your final take here going into Saturday?
I want to see Romeo. I want to see Romeo play. I at this point, he, to me, will complete the trifecta of the guys that we came to see this summer to frankly show that they've made progress towards the upcoming regular season. He's the only one. He's the last one standing. So I want to see Romeo, and I want to see Romeo show. Now, I don't want him to just show up. I want to see him show out. I want to see him dunk on people. I want to see him play great defense. I want to feel at the end of the game that he has made a significant impact. And if that's the case, regardless of whether they win the next game or win the championship, that to me makes this a successful summer league for this team.
That is not the bathroom behind me, I can assure you. That is not where I would plant out. The Romeo thing's huge. He's the last step to check off the list and show, all right, these guys have separated themselves from the pack here. Going back to the championship thing, I know it sounds silly, but I do think that would be a good thing for this group to show that they could come together and just plow through this tournament and beat all these really good teams. They're going to have Philadelphia, who's a solid summer league team, coming up on Saturday as well. And then you'll get feasibly another really good team in the championship, because then you go right to the championship after that. So I think they can do it. I think you have enough firepower here. They have really blown teams out just in terms of how they've won over these three games. And there's enough like NBA players on this team between Fernando, Pritchard, and Langford, and Neesmith that they're going to be capable of doing it. But if physically any of these guys can't hold up, I understand sitting some of them out down the stretch here and being more on the cautious side. It's not that important to win a championship. But there's some depth on this team, too, now that you see how Hauser's playing. We didn't even talk about Bren, who looked by far the best he has with the Celtics so far. Probably passed Yam in terms of overall production through the summer league right now. So they got a nice array of players here. We'll see how it translates. But all you ask is that they separate themselves a little bit at this level, and really the whole team has. Except for Langford, so we'll see where he goes.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I'm with you guys. I don't have anything really extra to say. I would just be repeating it. I want to see a little bit more out of Langford, and I'm happy to see what I've seen out of Neesmith and Pritchard. If they can continue that and win the next two, great. I think it would be nice. I agree with Bobby. It would be nice for them to sort of pull out a little championship here, because it just puts a little taste in your mouth, you know? There's nothing wrong with that going into the training camp, so that'd be great. And, either way, I've been pretty happy with what I've seen over the last two games. So the rest is kind of like almost like gravy, I guess you could say.
You know, the final thing I'm going to say, guys, is that I feel like the past week, like, I've almost done a 180 with this team. And not in the sense of, like, I was giving up on them. But the summer, well, not, no, I mean, the, you know what, I'm going to say the Celtics culture altogether, right? You know, and what I mean by 180, I wasn't like, it's not that like I didn't expect anything from this team. I just didn't know what to expect. And now I feel like seeing Jason Tatum out there, seeing Jaylen Brown out there, seeing Schroeder added to the roster. Obviously, Brad Stevens' moves have a lot to do with this. I just feel like we're starting to see at least the beginning stages of maybe a team finding its identity. And I know it might be. Yeah, I mean, it might be just me jumping the gun here. But like, I just feel like it's starting to trickle down because those two guys are in Vegas, you know. I think Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum being there has a lot to do with that. And I think that it sends the right message that, like, hey, we're all on the same page here. We're all, you know, striving for the same thing here. I mean, obviously, for the guys participating in Summer League, it's much different to, you know, compared to guys like Tatum and Brown. But I feel like them being there makes other guys like that feel like, okay, well, you know, if I can join on with these guys, if I can click on and become a fixture to this rotation, then these guys are going to have my support. You know what I mean? They're going to support me every step of the way. And I think that that's a big thing for this team, because given what happened last year and given that we're seeing Kemba Walker traded, and, you know, I just think Tatum and Brown being there, it really does send the right message for this team and for this organization. And that's it. That's all I got.
Nice way to end it, Joe Sway. That's a good way to
Yeah,
end
that's
it.
It's been a good week. It's been a good week for certain.
No, I agree with you. I agree with everything you said, man. I think it's spot on. I mean, we'll see where it goes, but it's a good – put it this way. It's a good start. It's a good start.
Right. I feel like as I'm saying, as I was saying that, I was like, what are they going to respond to? And I'm like, okay, cool, agreed. But I just want to get that out.
They're all singing, playing. They're all singing Kumbaya right now. That's great. They're all having a great time.
3 weeks ago, but it'll
be a different story when that 5-game losing streak comes in. Then what they're going to be saying?
Yeah, right.
I would have never. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But hey, food for thought. So that's it. I'm out. I'm up out of here. Everyone,
thank all right,
you
guys,
for joining. Of course, Jimmy Toscano, Aisha Rob Blakely, Bobby Manning, John Zanis, getting ready for a whole nother show. Of course, Patriots fans,
yep,
stay tuned. Plenty more coverage coming up. But that's going to do it for us, man. Until next time, of course, this weekend, I'm up out of here. I'm Joseph Pavone. That's going to do it for us. Garden Report.